Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might have.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, this is another Monday night on the Shame Free Zone. Welcome. I'm Veronica Monet, your host, and tonight we're going to be talking about sexy challenges. My guests are Dr. Janelle Alex and Rob Alex. They're a married couple who teach some very interesting concepts around sex and spirituality. I've been over to their website and found it one of a kind, absolutely one of a kind. They're calling in tonight from Colorado, and I understand it's cold out there. Rob and Janelle, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. I am fascinated by your stories and by your work. And I've also been pulling some commentary from your clients off of your website. So let's begin, if we can, with Janelle. If you could tell us a little, Dr. Alex, about your journey. I understand that it's just been a journey around being happy and that you want everyone to be fully alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled to hear somebody talking about that aspect of sexuality, and I'd like to hear more about your personal journey around that.
Well, I tell you, I never in a million years would have dreamed that I do the work that I do now and that I teach this. I dance and taught dance to little kids as well as adults, but that was my career. I opened a studio at the age of 19 and taught dance for 50, well, I taught dance for 20-some years. So, but what I didn't understand at that time was that all that movement was connecting me to my soul. And, of course, dance can be very sensual, and so there's a lot of those aspects as well in there. And, obviously, as little kids, we didn't teach that. But, as I moved forward and I earned my degrees and just things changed in my life, and I began to then move into my graduate degree in transpersonal psychology, probably more easily understood if I would say spiritual psychology, basically the same thing. And when I did that, I was so excited to be accepted into that program, and I told Rob, my husband, I said, you know, I'm going to change, and I knew that. I knew that. I just knew an inner knowing that that program was going to drastically change me, and I just was afraid he was going to be left behind because I was very spiritually focused. He had no interest in spirituality at the time, very skeptical of things, you know, wanted the scientific proven things. And I came across an article early on in that program that had to do with transcendental sex, which is basically just having, well, there's a lot of experiences in that. You could have out-of-body experience during sex, you could get visions, you could have a life experience, a variety of things. And I passed this article along to him, and he was intrigued, and ended up wondering if he could experience that. And that really kind of transformed that, because he did end up having a vision, ended up then after orgasm, then ended up seeing it in waking reality, and has done that now actually every time that we're together for the past, well, over 2 years now.
Wait, just a second. I want to ask for a little clarification here. You're talking about a waking reality?
You know, like if you have a dream or you see something, but then in just regular everyday life, you encounter this thing that you saw, like his vision. So when I say waking reality, it's just normal, everyday life.
Okay. Normal, everyday life. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so...
So let me see if I can just recap this. It sounds like you yourself had a catalyzing change in your life. You started having more of a spiritual connection around your sexuality, and mm-hmm. you got concerned that Rob might not make that journey with you because he wasn't particularly interested in spirituality at the time of your transformation. Do I have it right so far?
Pretty much. I mean, the blending of the sexual piece into the spirituality, really, for me, actually happened because of him starting to get visions and his transcendental sexual experience. That's what really made me go, whoa, wait a minute, this is amazing. And I, as connected as I am to spirit and to guides and the inner knowings and the prophetic dreams and those types of things, I had never connected that to my intimate life, the physically intimate life. And so that really transformed all of that and has been just, you know, for the human mind to accept, it's just, it's leaves me in awe every time that we experience that or have a past life experience through it or just those types of things that because of the stuff that we experience from it. And the ability that we have found and also to be able to manifest things into our lives by practicing sacred sex or sex magic. So that's kind of where it transformed for me as far as one. And then I knew that not only was it vitally important for people to be connected to their individual soul and that core essence of themselves to live alive and to be happier, but when you're in relationship in particular, to be able to, because it transformed our life. It transformed my relationship with Rob, not just the sexual aspect of our relationship, but our relationship in general and our lives in general when we brought the sacredness and awareness of the sacredness into our sexual life.
So what I'm hearing is that you had a spiritual life, but it wasn't, it didn't have much of a connection to your sexual life.
Right.
And that at some point you started to connect the two, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I think the big question here is was it a book that you read or a course that you took about transcendental sex? I'm a little confused about that. I'm just, what was the catalyst for this transformation?
It was an article, and I don't know the class that I was in, to be honest. It was it was about spirituality, and I don't have any idea now. It's been 2.5 years ago since I took that particular program that it started, and I don't even know why that article was in that course, because it was just, well, Jenny Wade, she wrote Transcendental Sex, What Love Making Opens the Veil, and she is a professor at the school that I was going to.
Dr. Jenny Wade, I'm a big fan of her book.
Yeah, and so I then after we began to experience these things, then in some other class I had to, you know, do something, a book review or something, and I was drawn to her work. And at the time, I didn't even realize she was a professor there. and I said, Rob, I want to get this book. And he said, I have that. I'm like, what? And he had it and had just never gotten around to reading it, and it was sitting on the shelf. And so it was one of those synchronistic moments. And I said, well, perfect. And I pulled it out, and we learned a lot from that as well. But by that point, he had already experienced his own visions and past life experience. So, you know, during sex. So it was very fascinating. But we also, another reason that this transformed for me was because about, probably 6 months after he got his first vision after orgasm, I had a seminar in California, and I traveled out there, and one of our things we were studying was dreams, and I had a dream there was a whole wolf pack around me, and there was one particular wolf that just stared at me. And I woke up the next morning, and I knew that somehow he was a guide for me. And I was like, okay. So I went into meditation that morning, and I said, all right, who are you? What's your name? And I was given the name Kale. And then the validations of that name was just phenomenal throughout the rest of the week. Myself and a couple of my class members kept just seeing it in the strangest places. And within a couple of weeks, he began to come to Rob Rob doesn't like to call them dreams, but he considers them more visits. But they're usually around that 3-4 o'clock in the morning time. And Kale has been with us for the past 2.5 years now, and he gives us specific information and just amazing stuff. That the validations are just phenomenal and leave us in awe all the time. And
so, Janelle, I want to ask you a couple of questions. So, spirit Kale comes through both your dreams and Rob's dreams, or does Kale mostly speak to one of you?
He came to me during that first time. That's the only time I've had it during a dream. For me to connect with him, I do a shamanic journey or I'll do a meditation, and then I connect with him very quickly and communicate with him. For Rob, he comes as, like I said, he comes during the dream state, and I don't want to speak for Rob there because it's not my dream.
So both of you are basically channeling the same entity,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I would like to go to Rob now. Rob, thanks so much for waiting by patiently while Janelle kind of gave us her version of the journey. But I work with couples over the telephone and in person all the time, so I'm excited to get your perspective. And I'm not going to assume that you've got the exact same perspective that Janelle has, even though you are obviously a very coordinated and cooperative couple. With highly advanced skills, there's always room for variations in perception. So please feel free to share those and give us some sense of what it was really like for you.
Well, as Janelle mentioned, I was the last person I would have even suggested that this would have happened to. I wasn't connected. I was very scientifically you had to prove stuff to me for me to believe. You couldn't just, I just didn't have the knowing that Janelle did. I was, very analytical. I had to see it. I had to have proof. But when this happened, it was such a difference for me. It opened me up to amazing things. And now I just have this incredible thirst for all this knowledge of this stuff. And I've lost all that analytical feeling. And I just trust in what I feel in my body and what I find in my mind, and it's been an amazing transformation for me.
So tell us a little bit then. Okay, I get it. Now, I don't know how much you were, kind of mired in the logical, lineal, hierarchical thinking that this present patriarchal culture kind of extols as being, I suppose, better than the intuitive side of life. But how was it for you? Did you find yourself becoming interested because your wife was? Or was it more like your wife just didn't realize how rich your dream life already was? I mean, obviously you have this pivotal book in your possession. It kind of suggests to me that you might have already been pulling some of this stuff in.
Well, I think you're right. I didn't know this at the time, but I was always fascinated with sex, and I loved making love to my wife. It was purely the physical part of it. I liked the feeling. I liked the responses. But when this happened, it opened me up because I knew at that point in time that there was so much more to lovemaking and to having sex than I ever thought or ever dreamed possible. After these visions started happening and I started witnessing them, my whole world was, just turned around. And now I'm looking at things and I'm like, well, how can sexual activity and sexual energy how can we use that? Because it's such a creative force in this universe. I mean, this may sound really strange to a lot of people, but I believe that sex is the ultimate religion.
And when you say that is the ultimate religion, are you talking about sex as the doorway to the divine?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think there's such a connection there. There's two things that I feel like that connect us to the divine, one being sex, and the other, which, again, will sound strange to people, is laughter. And I relate that to when you have an orgasm. What really happens when we have an orgasm? Do we, you know, you have that brief period of time in our human state where you lose all control, your body takes over, your mind kind of goes blank at times. What happens? And I have some feeling that you might actually even go and live another life during that time of orgasm, and then you come back into your body. And I feel like that laughter is the same thing. When you get to the point that you're laughing so hard that you're crying that you can't control it, I think that is another connection to the divine, because, again, we lose control of our body. Our body takes over. And when you have that really, you know, that laughter where you stop laughing, and I think they're very similar aspects to the divine.
It is very interesting how far away we've gotten from the ancient concept that sex was the doorway to the divine, to the more modern concept, which is that sex is something that emanates from the lower chakras. I was actually having a conversation with a dear friend of mine just a couple of days ago about kind of the yogic orientation around the sexual centers, that they are lower energies that we want to channel through the higher chakras. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm noticing that, you know, you say you start off very logical and science-based, but I see that you're certified in Reiki and you're a metaphysical practitioner and you've got a master's in metaphysics, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, what's your opinion about some of this, contradictory information that we get? Because I know in Tantra, it seems to me, we're very definitely learning that sex can open access to the divine. And yet in the yogas that do not incorporate any kind of sexuality, it seems sometimes that sex is seen as a lower energy that needs to be kind of overcome or overridden in order to get to the higher enlightenment phase. So I'd be very interested, Rob, in what your opinion about that is.
Well, I really, the funny part is I don't subscribe to any one method of reaching this. I think they're all individualized. I think as we are individual and unique, each and every single one of us, that so is our path to the divine or whatever. Because there's a lot of things, I don't agree with everything that I've read about in Tantra. I don't, you know, agree with all the religious perspectives. But I think there's bits and pieces that we can take from them individually that resonate with us and use them to create our own path or our own a way of getting to the divine. And this is the amazing part of this journey. As you said, all these things that, you know, I'm certified in Reiki and I, you know, I have a metaphysical degree. And as I'm learning all this stuff, I'm finding things that I want to add into if you will, call it my beliefs or my path that really resonate with me. And I can't say that there's one particular one that I resonate with more than any other. I really enjoy some of the stuff that the Hawaiian tradition of Puna teaches, but yet there's parts of it that I don't agree with. And so I feel like it's important for everybody to construct their own spiritual beliefs in that manner.
Mhm. Okay. And do you believe that sex is? I think you said you thought sex was the original religion or the religion. I'm just wondering, do you see that reflected anywhere? Are you drawing this from any particular?
Well, I think if you go back to a lot of ancient traditions, there's a lot more focus on the sexual activity.
Uh huh.
For example, I mean, our Native American tradition, they would use, they would, you know, when the warriors would go into battle, they would encourage the braves to have sex with their wives or their partners before they would go into battle as a way to protect themselves. And I also, you know, and if you look back at many other traditions, you know, back into some of the paganism where they would have sex in the field so that the crops would grow better, you know, that would, you know, add to the ability for the crops to grow or their animals
right.
to thrive and things like that. And so I think that there's so much ancient tradition in that that we've kind of, with our modern religions that are out there, have kind of got washed away or watered down, if you will.
Uh-huh. I don't think it's gotten watered down. I think it's actually been subverted because, one of the things, you know, Janelle says she wants people to be fully alive, and I don't think that's what governments want. I don't think governments really want their citizens to be fully alive because then they might be rebellious and they might have, you know, place more demands on the infrastructure.
Right. If we are all fully alive, then the government and the powers that be no longer have control over us. We're not the
right. And what's the first thing you do with a domesticated animal? You neuter it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Yeah. So I feel that we've all been kind of psychologically and emotionally castrated by the current culture, and we're allowed to, interact sexually for procreative purposes because, you know, the infrastructure wants more livestock. But I don't think they're looking for us to have orgasmic bliss and a connection, our own authentic connection to the divine, because if we do, then we're not going to be populating the, the religious institutions to such degree. We would probably stay home and make love and talk to God that way.
Well, we wouldn't. The powers that be, again, you know, whoever they might be, whether it's government or, our minister, some of our ministers and so forth, they're fearful of us, the general, mainstream, accessing that knowledge and that bliss, as you said. And it is because, again, they lose that control. We don't need them then to access God or the divine or, you know, the great spirit or our higher selves, again, whatever words make sense. And
right.
And I'm like that, you don't have to do that. I mean, now, Rob and I have a slight difference. I mean, because I think sex or laughter are certainly not the only two ways to access that, but they are very powerful ways. And so there's many ways to access that, and so it has to be what resonates with the individual or the individual couple when you're trying to do it together.
So did either one of you have to get past any kind of sexual taboo or sexual shame in order to really fully move into the idea of sex being the doorway to the divine?
Well, I was raised basically that sex was dirty. Oh my God, don't ever have toys because that's just gross and awful and those types of things. We were both raised in a very strict Christian community, not very far from the Bible Belt. We were about an hour and a half or so from the Bible Belt. And it's very much, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you haven't been baptized, then you're going to burn in hell. And we didn't either one feel that way, so we're very happy to not live there anymore. But there were a lot of things to get past. And even though we teach what we teach, I mean, I still encounter things at times, and I had a sexual assault in my early 20s as well that I dealt with. So there's still things that will come up for me once in a while that I have to work through. And that's just from that upbringing. And again, occasionally, even not so much now, it's been so many years now, because it's been almost 20 years ago since the sexual assault, but it did take many, many, many years because things would come up that I didn't expect, and it was hard to let go But again, the bringing the sacred, the sacredness into this for between Rob and I, and how it just transformed it so much. It was very healing. It was emotionally and spiritually healing for me. And it just, I don't know how else to explain that.
No, I get what you're saying. I really do. Let me kind of recap. What I'm hearing is that there was a sexual assault, yes?
Pardon?
Janelle, you indicated that you suffered a sexual assault of some sort?
Yes, I did. I was 23, yep. I believe.
Yeah, you said it was about 20 years ago.
Yep.
And that as you started exploring the sacred sex, there's this tremendous healing of that trauma, mm-hmm. And a reorientation from sex as a perpetration to sex as a sacrament. Yes?
Yes, right.
Yeah. So, and I think that is the journey. I really do. I'm also a rape and incest survivor, and I very much want to teach people that sex can be a healing modality and something that's uplifting and beautiful and joyful and not just fun and not just pleasurable and not just something that you do with your husband and your wife, but that it is in fact this beautiful spiritual journey and like anything, it can be misused and,
right.
and I think misappropriated. I actually object to calling any kind of sexual perpetration sex. They're sexual perpetrations, but they're not actually sex.
Right.
You know, when I was getting trained as a rape counselor for the Center Against Rape and Domestic Violence back in 1982, we were covering that ground that rape is not sex. And that was something of a misnomer, and as long as the culture continued to call rape sex, it had a tendency to be tolerant. In some capacity, or find excuses for why some rape was okay or justified. So I think, you know, to make that separation, but also to realize that sacred sex can heal the trauma that's even in the tissues and heal the trauma that your body still carries. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do, because you just said it there, but the body has holding patterns, and we hold good experiences as well as bad experiences in the cells of our body. And those need, when it's a negative thing, you need to be able to release those. And there's so many ways to do that. But sacred sex in particular is a very powerful way to do that. And then to be able to tap into spirit and to have that connection is so... healing just isn't even a big enough word. It's not even a powerful enough word to say what it can do, to express what it can do for a person. It doesn't mean that it will, but it can.
And as somebody who is on the sacred sexual path, I got to say, it does defy words. How do you describe it? I mean, it is transcendent. It's absolutely not of this world.
Right. Correct.
Rob, I want to ask you,
okay.
Can you help our listeners? Because one thing we haven't defined for them right now is what's the difference between sex as the culture tends to acknowledge it and sacred sex? How would you even define sacred sex?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to get rid of all the sexual education that we are taught as children in this country. You know, because it's very biological, it's this happens, this is a response. So we need to get away from that, because that's not the sacred sex that we're talking about. The sacred sex is the connection between the partners and the beauty that ensues from this activity. You know, like I said, orgasm is not the goal of sacred sex. It's a wonderful part of it, but it's not the goal. So it's the whole purpose of it is not to just go at this, have your orgasm, roll over, and go to sleep. We have what, you know, different stages of lovemaking, you know, the arousal. And as me and Janelle always like to say, you know, lovemaking starts early in the day. You don't, you know, it's not when you get it between the sheets and you start touching each other. It starts in the morning when you know, the first kiss in the morning, you know, the way that you look at each other throughout the day. And all this builds up until, you know, you get to that point where, you know, you are ready to be very physical with each other. And then it just opens the gateway to this amazing experience that you can have and let all this energy flow out into the universe that I know Janelle differs with me on the opinion, but that we create this amazing energy and we can direct that and use that to help us out.
I love that you guys are aware of where you disagree and can talk about it openly. I just love that. I think that's modeling such a healthy paradigm for couples.
That was one of the things I think that helped our relationship when we decided, or what we talk about this often, but giving up that need to be right, that my answer has to be right, that her answer has to be right, that there has to be a winner and a loser in an argument. And we have had, since we came to that realization, we have had very few heated even discussions.
Yeah, and that's been years now.
Yes, because it's just about how you feel and how the other person feels. As I tell couples, I say there are no facts. I said you can have facts at work and outside the home, but as soon as you get home, there's no facts.
Yeah.
There's just feelings.
Yeah, because, you know, and the thing of it is, it's like it might feel true to me, so it's my truth, but that doesn't mean that it's really true. It's because if it's not the truth for him, then, you know, it's just my perception. And vice versa. So being
and you know, one of the things that I love about that, Janelle and Rob, is that it keeps me growing. So I, you know, the idea is there's always that kind of that, oh, I don't want you to disagree with me because I know I'm right and I want you to agree with me. But if I can just take a breath and let go of that and fall into the, wow, this is my sacred partner. There is a really good chance they're going to share something with me that I really want to know. And I might change my opinion. And even if I don't, even if I continue to have a belief or an opinion or a preference, what a wonderful gift it is to get to know my partner intimately and to understand how they feel and what they believe and to see life from their perspective. That's just so enlarging.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the beauties of all this, you know, our sex life is great and love each other and everything's going good. But some of the best parts that come out of this is the conversations that we have late into the night where we're talking about these things and, you know, you forget about time and you're just flowing back and forth and you're bouncing ideas off of each other. And as we've all heard many times, that communication is so important in relationships. And this just adds so much to it and allows you so many different avenues to take in those conversations.
Well, and being able to honor your partner in that way, I totally agree with you that it opens you up to your own growth and further expansion. And darn, I lost my train of thought. Where is my mind going? That. Well, it's a great thing to say and it's gone. Maybe you'll come back.
Well, one thing I can tell is both of you are very engaged and passionate, and there's a lot of fire and energy passing between the two of you too, which I think is just beautiful, and it's a testament to your path. Could you tell us a little bit more about and what is the name of the entity that you are channeling again? Is it Kale?
Kale. K-A-L-E.
Kale. Yeah, I eat kale.
You do.
So I'm curious about that. Now, I've never channeled an entity, so I'm just wondering, like, how do you come to know their name and how do they reveal themselves and why? And then also, what does this have to do with sex?
On the finding out his name, because I'm the one that seems to be able to do that. shortly before I met Kale, the wee hours of the morning, and our youngest, which is now about five, wasn't sleeping, and Rob took him back to his room. So I couldn't go back to sleep, and I'm laying there, and I knew that during meditation a few months prior, a wolf had come to me, and I never had been into wolves. That wasn't my thing. But I had gotten that, and I knew he was there and around me. And so, wee hours in the morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I miss all my other guys' names, and years past I'd gotten them. Just a kind of a knowing. And I said, well, what is your name? Who are you? And I've given these, I don't even really know how to explain it, but I was given the name Rafe. It took me a few minutes to figure that out. But then I'm like, okay, and that was it. And boom, it was over. The conversation was over, and I went to sleep finally. And the next day, I, pulled something up on my computer, and instantly there was a picture of a wolf. And again, I wasn't into wolves, so it was a synchronistic, if you will, thing. It's a big sign. And the word Ray was there with it. And I was just floored because I just sat there stunned. And so anyway, so then I just knew, and I had just those those validations that would show up like that. And so then when Kale showed up to me, I just had that inner knowing, that intuitive sense that he was there for me. And I didn't know he was for us as a couple at the time. But so that's when I went into meditation that morning. I just reached out and asked. And then when the name Kale word Kale just kept showing up in the weird, strange ways in front of us the next few days, and then to this day, Rob and I still get little messages about Kale. They'll pop up. Now they're connected to the sexual aspect, though. So often they'll pop up. We read an article the other day from a local little paper here, and there was an article about sex magic, and it was kind of out of context. The way the guy had written something about he compared it to being like kale, that it was needed to be talked about and being out there and not having a bad reputation. And he was implying kale, that leafy vegetable we're talking about. But when we read it, it was just so strange because we were like, oh my God, he's talking about our kale. I mean, that's what we got from it because it was so out of context. Make a lot of sense unless you read the article, probably. But it's just, and then for me, I had learned how to shamanic journey, which is in a sense similar to meditation. I don't know if people don't know what it is, but and I can just connect, and I can theme and just communicate and get information, and then I get validations from it. So to actually answer you how, I don't have a good how. It just happens. Rob, you...
Well, my visits, as I call them, from Kale are quite different from Janelle's, because we actually have interaction to where we have a conversation. We usually meet, like she said earlier on in the conversation, in the wee hours of the morning, if you will. And I like to call, we meet on our... what I call my gray beach, where there is very little color, and we meet in the same spot on this beach. There's certain things that are always there. There's a fallen tree, obviously sand. And he will give me specific directions on what to do. One of the big things that helped us move into the sacred sex aspect of this was he has synchronized our lovemaking with the cycles of the moon. Mm-hmm. He said that was very important for us to do. And we started doing that, and things started opening up, and things started happening for us. And he's, very specific with the messages he gives me. He'll tell us how many times to make love a month during that moon cycle. Things like that, and it's always benefited us. It's just amazing.
Well, okay. So, I want to ask you some specific questions about the actual sacred sex, because several times you've talked about, it's just amazing, and it really opens things up for us. But can you give the listeners something a little more concrete about the experience of sacred sex? Because for people who've never experienced it, it can be intriguing, but it can also be frightening.
Right.
You know, so maybe some ideas about, or some just comments or descriptions about what one might expect if they were to evoke sacred sex into their personal life.
Well, I don't think we can tell you exactly, you know, we can't tell everybody exactly what has happened. You know, it's not a formula like do this, and this will happen. As we've mentioned before, I get visions shortly after orgasm, at the point of orgasm or shortly after. And those have always, some of those have had meaning. We, like Janelle said, we lived in Indiana, and I came out here to Colorado for a job interview. And the night before, we were together, and I got a vision, and it was the word fur, F-U-R-R. And as I came out here for my job interview, the place that I interviewed at, there was a restaurant right across the street that was called Furs, F-U-R-R. So it's quite intriguing. I mean, I've never had any kind of experience that has totally scared me in any way. But I've heard of people, and I've read things where people have had, you know, experiences where they see their lover as a different person, or they feel like they're a different person, or they feel like they're out of their body and traveling through space. So I can understand where some of those could be very, very intimidating, or even to the point of scary for some people that wouldn't understand these. So the big thing for me is just to have some attention when you're making love to your partner, and be aware of all the things that are happening, because, like I said earlier, so much of the time we're focused on the goal of orgasm that we don't take in the scenery. It's the stop and smell the roses kind of mentality.
Well, I want to add, though, that it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to even be an actual experience during the lovemaking, whether, you know, it's the visions or the some people feel like they've come in, you know, turned into an animal, or, you know, all, there's amazing stories out there and amazing experiences. But it also could just be that if you pay attention and you're aware the next couple of days after you've made love with your partner, you are more than likely going to be more creative. You're going to probably be able to solve problems easier, come up with a different solution that you never would have come up with before, because you have tapped into the creative source through your sexual orgasmic energy. And so that in itself, when you put that intention and that attention into your intimate life, and, you know, like I said, and a few days or a few hours afterwards, you're going to be more able to be aware of this change in you and this difference in how you function and how you think.
So okay. Still not getting a real specific answer from you guys about the actual sacred sex. So what I'm hearing from you, Rob, is don't focus on orgasm, just focus on the intimacy and the encounter. And what I'm hearing from you, Janelle, is that if you do sacred sex, it's going to catalyze aspects of your life that have nothing to do with sex. And I think that's all valuable, but I'm still thinking that the listener is probably going to wonder, well, what is sacred sex? I mean, do you say some incantations? Are there certain sexual positions that you do? Do you wear certain clothing? Do you do it outside? Is it a group orgy? I mean, I'll tell you, when I told my mother I was starting to teach sacred sex, she flipped out. She thought, oh, well, that's like when the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf.
Mm.
So help the listeners, if you can, get some idea of what we're talking about when we say sacred sex.
So the thing of it is, it can be all of the above. What we practice is, you know, Rob and I have a monogamous relationship, and we are a heterosexual couple. Now, we also do try very much to, when we teach and we talk about things, we try to leave that open so that it can be a same-sex couple. It can be, you know, just like not a monogamous relationship. But, you know, the big thing for us is that love still needs to be involved. Now, as far as to be more specific, one of the things that we do is we create what's called a sigil. So if we have an, if we're just practicing sex magic. So when you want to achieve a certain goal, and maybe somebody wants that new job, and to use the example Rob talked about with the interview that he had here, which he got that position, we had our lovemaking that evening, and we have what's called a sigil, which is the intent. It's an image or a drawing or a picture of what it is that would symbolize what you're wanting to achieve. You know, we wanted this job. We wanted this move to Colorado. So we had a particular drawing that we had created that symbolized to us this, you know, him getting that job and us coming out here. And then after we made love, and we had intercourse, then what you would do is take the, because, of course, we're fluid bonded, and so you would take those two fluids, the blended fluids, and put them on that piece of paper, on that drawing, and then we would burn the drawing. So that's, I suppose, hopefully a bit more specific on one of the things that we do.
Yes, that has a decidedly sex magic flavor to it, don't you think?
Yes, that does, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
But it's very sexy.
And just so the listeners know, sex magic and sacred sex and tantra, these are three different practices.
Right.
There can be overlap, there can be lots of similarities, but they're not necessarily the same thing.
Absolutely. As we said, because we blend, we don't subscribe to only one thing. So it's a blending of the different pieces. But we find that they're all sacred, though. I mean, that's how we feel.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and Rob, would you add anything to that, or do you think she pretty well called it?
Well, I mean, obviously that's the practice that we do most often. We've also done some breath work, breathing in each other's breaths beforehand, which is very tantra, if you will. But we try to create some kind of ceremony, if you will, an honoring of the activities that are about to proceed, so that, you know, because it is bigger than what we are, and we are going to create this amazing energy, and we're going to let it go out into the universe, the divine, wherever, and we want to honor that. So that's the sacred part to me.
The sacred part then for you is about setting your intentions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, Janelle, the sacred part for you is a little more oriented towards ritual.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 So between the two, my understanding of sex magic, you need to have the ritual and the intention. So between the two of you, you got it covered.
Well, and of course, you know, there's, again, just as with anything else, there are so many different branches of sex magic. So it's just because there are some aspects of sex magic where the belief is that love should not be involved at all. Obviously, Rob and I don't agree with that, and there's many branches of sex magic that are very focused on the love, being in the relationship. And, yeah, then there's some that it's solo, or there's others that it's a group experience, but then there's many that it's a couple. And so there's just so many different, it's such a huge topic, which I know you know that, but so many different avenues. And
well, let's talk a little bit about the people who have taken your workshops, because you actually offer workshops, and I think it's pretty interesting, some of the comments on your webpage, one in particular that I found quite intriguing, I thought you might want to see more about this, was from somebody by the name of Cece in Utah, and I quote, says, "I had a weird experience once during sex where I thought I was someone else. Now, I guess that it was a spiritual thing, and I am not scared by that now. In fact, I get now that it is pretty cool, and I am open to spiritual stuff during sex with my partner." Do you find that this is pretty commonplace, or is it kind of rare that people feel like they're somebody else during sex, whether perhaps they feel like an animal or they remember a past life. I remember reading about these kind of experiences in Jenny Wade's Transcendent Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, with the people that you're working with, how commonplace are you finding this to be?
I have to say that I've been surprised. It's more common than you would anticipate. Because I know Jenny talked about this in her book, and so I know you've read this. But so many people are fearful of talking about it. Because if they have this experience, one, oh my God, how could I ever tell my partner I just thought he was somebody else, right? Because he's
going
to be offended. And then they might just think that I'm crazy. So it's so often people are frightened to even tell, when it spontaneously happens, they're afraid to even tell their partner, let alone anyone else. So there's so many people out there that have had these experiences, but they don't want to tell anybody. And when they finally find a safe space or a place they know that they can be open and let that vulnerability show through and say, look, oh my God, I've had that happen to me. It's just amazing because then so many people, there are, I mean, I have not done, deep research, projects on it, but it's very, very, very fascinating. And, probably about maybe 10% of the people have this happen spontaneously. So it's not like, everybody has this happen and nobody talks about it. But it's still more common than perhaps people might think. It's not, only 1% of the population has it happen.
So, Rob, why do you think that you and Janelle are channeling this entity by the name of Kale? What do you think the primary reason for that is?
My personal belief is that he is here to show us or to tell us that this is the path we are supposed to take. We have resisted it somewhat at the early stages of it, and it just keeps coming back. I mean, it keeps pushing us towards this goal of teaching people to have better relationships, to experience sacred sex. So I think that, for me, that's, his presence shows me that I'm moving in the right direction and I'm on the right path in what I'm doing.
Hmm. So you take it as kind of validation or confirmation of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you guys actually have a radio show?
Yes, we do. It's actually more of a podcast, if you will, but it's Sexy Challenge Heartbeat is the name of it. And you can find it on iTunes.
Yep, I'm looking at it right now. Sexy Challenge Heartbeats on iTunes. And, I went to your website, and it changes the URL to inwardoasis.wildapricot.org. Is that your website?
Wildapricot.org? Yeah, it's under a membership site, and so it does switch to that. But, sexychallenge.com is the easiest way to find it.
What is the easiest way to find it?
I'm sorry, sexychallenges.com.
Sexychallenges.com. That's definitely your website.
Remember.
Yes. Yeah, the other. And it doesn't look like you've got, you have the Sexy Challenges. Manifest with mind-blowing orgasms. Wrap your mind around the power of sexual energy and honor your partner with hot, powerful, loving, sacred sex. SexyChallenges.com. Over 100,000 downloads on iTunes. Over 60 Sexy Challenges currently available on iTunes and ready for most e-readers. So that's pretty cool. Do you have events coming up that you want the listeners to know about?
Well, actually, this Wednesday, we're starting a Sexy Challenge Heartbeats Google Plus Hangout. And, of course, all of our events are listed on the website. But in that Google Plus Hangout, what we're going to be doing is discussing one of the specific Sexy Challenges and kind of a teaching around it, if you will, kind of whatever that particular challenge is, you know, kind of how to do it. We're just going to go through the whole process of it and then open that up for questions and answers as well. So,
I see that they can register for that over, again, under events on sexychallenges.com, and you've got a hangout on November 14th, November 17th, November 27th, November 28th. So it looks like you got four for the remainder of this month.
Right, because we have the, I think it's the 28th, is the shape of your relationship, which is just a unique virtual workshop that really we just use different shapes to take just a whole different look at all areas of your relationship, including your sex life. So it's just kind of an interesting way. It's fun, but it's really, it can really give you a whole eye-opening experience. So, and that's
well,
right now.
Thank you, and we're out of time, so I'm going to have to sign off here. But I really want to thank Dr. Janelle Alex and Rob Alex, a married couple who are just shaking things up sexually here. You can find them at sexychallenges.com. And I'm assuming that people can contact you for ratings over the phone?
Pardon?
Can people contact you for ratings over the telephone?
We could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you channel Kel for other people or just for yourself.
Well, I know we're out of time, but I've begun to channel and find other people's guides for them as a couple. So that's
fabulous.
Yeah, that's just spontaneously happened. It wasn't intended. So that's it.
like everything the two of you are doing,
well,
as far as I could tell.
We're doing what we've been told to do by God or the guides or the whoever.
I gotcha. Well, I'm really glad that you're putting a positive message out there about sex and about sacred sex and about the doorway to the divine. Really, really, you guys are a lovely, lovely couple. And
thank you.
Everybody for your loving presence in the world. And thank you to the listeners for tuning into the Shame Free Zone. That's it for tonight. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian, kenapa tak mutus kabar berita?